lips. "Don't come," he ordered gruffly. "Stella," she breathed, her hips meeting his thrusts wildly. Fuck, she was amazing. "Don't you come, Simone," he warned thickly, pounding inside her now, pushing it for himself, desperate to explode, needing more to watch what he was building in her, watch her struggle to obey his command, unintentionally doing anything in her power to snap his control, so she'd be free to let her own go. "Baby," she whispered her plea, arching up into him, rubbing against him, rocking with him, pulling out all the stops. He kept at her with cock and thumb until it was Stellan who could take no more. "Now, darling," he whispered. She shoved her face in his neck and flew apart, and he sank his teeth deep into the flesh of hers, and his world turned white, everything obliterating, drawing down to nothing but the taste of Simone in his mouth, his cock pounding into her sleek, soaked beauty, his balls draining, skin rubbing and slapping against skin, sex mingled with her perfume, his cologne permeating the air, and his whole body fucking, fucking finally covering hers, buried in hers, as Stellan climaxed inside his Simone. When the world turned to color again, and he had it in him to unlatch the hold of his teeth, and automatically begin to lave the mark he'd left there, it hit him that Simone was not stroking him, not petting him, not quivering under him in her own aftermath. Legs about his waist, one arm below his shoulder blades, one hand on the back of his neck, she was holding on fast, hard, tight. He moved his thumb from her clit to put his weight into his forearm in the bed, but even as he took that from her, she didn't let go. So he slid his lips to her ear. "Are you all right, honey?" he whispered. She didn't answer verbally, just nodded. He lifted his head to look down at her and grew completely still. He didn't move until the tear slid out the side of her eye, along her temple, to disappear in her hair. He bent to touch his lips to the trail and then laid his hand there, positioning his face right in hers. "Simone, darling, I asked if you're all right," he repeated gently. "Thank you," she whispered. "For what?" he asked.
"For thinking I deserve you."
Her words caused his entire chest to cave in, and he growled. Then he kissed her hard and deep. And when he was done, he decided that was for another time. Now, they were celebrating. And they were doing that by engaging in a mind-boggling amount of fucking. But when he broke from her mouth, he queried, "Now, would you like a cocktail?" She stared in his eyes. Eventually, her lips quirked. And finally, they moved. "Absolutely." Much later, Stellan lay naked on his back, on his couch in his bedroom in front of the fire. Simone lay naked, partly on him, partly draped down his side, her forehead in his neck, her cheek on his collarbone, her top leg thrown over his thighs, his arm around her, the warm, round cheek of her ass in his hand. She was out, asleep, done in. As she would be. Driven by something that had nothing to do with the lapse of time between his acquisitions of pussy, and everything to do with the woman right there at his side, he'd used her liberally to explore some of the surfeit of possibilities of drawing her to climax. On the table before them was the detritus of the remains of raids on the fridge, as well as a bottle of gin, a bottle of vodka, a bottle of vermouth, an almost empty jar of olives, two martini shakers, a silver bucket of mostly melted ice, two empty martini glasses, and the sludge left behind of a half-eaten gallon of ice cream that should have gone back into the freezer 3 hours ago. His room had lit itself when the time came, lamps here and there, offering a welcoming light. Stellan's eyes were on the fire. His breaths were coming deep, relaxed, easy. His last deposit of cum was seeping out of Simone all over his thigh. "Now this is fucking more like it," he muttered. And then slowly, he smiled. 8. A man who has everything. Stellan.
"Hold it. Baby.
What did I say?"
"But I..."
Both of them sitting up. Stellan's hands were gripping the cheeks of her behind as she rode his cock. He adjusted one, gathering her wet, then sliding his middle finger up her ass. He watched her head drop back as she moaned.
"God, that is not helping."
He shoved his face in her throat, and as she fucked him, he fucked her ass.
"Faster, Simone," he ordered. "If I do that, I'll come," she whimpered.
He drove his finger deep, and with his other hand caught her hair in a tight grip, maneuvering her face to his own.
"Faster,"
he growled. She bounced on him faster, staring in his eyes, gasping against his lips, her gaze fuzzy, scattered, glorious. He started fucking her ass again as he brought her mouth to his, tilting her head to the side, capturing her lips, and he assumed the same rhythm she was using on his cock with his finger and his tongue. She took it for an admirably long time before she made a desperate noise down his throat. He broke the kiss and whispered,
"Now you can come, darling."
She flew back in a total body arc, still bounding on his cock, head back, chest thrust forward. Pure sex, pure beauty. All Simone, all his. He slid his finger out, pulled her off his cock, but kept her on her knees. Shifting out from between her legs and moving around her, he walked on his knees into her, pushing her closer to the headboard, grunting, "Tip." She lifted her ass. He guided his cock and drove it home.
"Jesus, yes. Home."
Her head slammed into his shoulder. Stellan again shoved his face in her neck as he fucked her fast, deep, and so rough she had to reach out and latch onto the headboard to lock her arm, or he'd drive her right into it.
"God, I love your cock," she breathed.
This verbal confirmation was unnecessary, but he was still delighted to get it. He lifted his head and clipped,
"Mouth."
She turned her head and offered it. He took her mouth, pounding inside her so hard, noises came from her throat, driving down his with each thrust until he broke the kiss, groaned,
"Fuck, sweetheart."
His world cleared, went blank of everything but Simone, and he exploded inside her. He came down, with his cock buried to the root, his ass to his calves, with Simone straddling his thighs, resting into him, essentially sitting on his shaft. His forehead was in her neck, one arm tight along her belly, the other arm slanted up, fingers wrapped around her throat.
"Just to say, baby, I'm not sure it's necessary for you to make up for all the fucking you missed these last months. In the expanse of 24 hours with me,"
Simone joked breathily. Smiling, he started stroking her throat, but didn't otherwise move his hand. He did move his head to glide his lips up a cord at the side of her neck to her ear.
"Are you not enjoying yourself?"
he asked there. He felt her fingers curl around his forearm at her chest, and he lifted his head to catch her turning hers to look into his eyes. I didn't say that, she whispered, and her warm brown eyes got warmer. Nice wake-up call, hot stuff. He felt his face get soft. Then he moved in and kissed her even softer. Unfortunately, he had to end it and say, I need to shower and get to work. And I need to test my walking and see if I've been struck bow-legged. He found himself laughing, then caught himself while doing it. He'd never laughed while inside a woman, not in his life. 39 years, innumerable partners, the same amount of playthings. Not once. Stellan, she called, the odd note of open concern in her voice, something he'd never heard her give so nakedly, taking him back to her.
I've never laughed when I've been inside a woman, he shared with her just as openly.
He saw the surprise flicker in her eyes only a moment before they shut down.
Oh, no, she did not. Not then, in that moment. Not ever.
His fingers that were light at her throat tightened.
Simone, he warned.
She was looking at his cheek. She was also murmuring, You need to get to work, and so do I.
Can you explain to me why I'm still hard inside you? We were sharing something beautiful after sharing something beautifully pleasurable, and now you're miles away from me?
She moved her gaze to focus on his eyebrows and replied, Because we both should probably get a move on. He pulled out, and she cried out when he lifted her, turned her, and planted her astride his lap, sitting on his ass in his bed, caging her with his arms, and pinning her in with his thighs.
So we got through the first day, and it was not painless,
he began.
But for you, it was relatively easy, considering there's a good deal of difficult issues to go over, and we haven't even started. I own my company, so I can go in whenever I like. And I know Joel allows you to make your own schedule, considering most of your work is out in the field. So even if he forced you to a schedule, he'd never know if you kept it. Since we can do as we wish, how about we start tackling those issues now?
Hmm? How about we not? She retorted, her body and voice stiff. He felt his eyes narrow.
That wasn't actually me giving you a choice.
Stellan, she snapped. He moved one arm so he could use his thumb to press in at the scar on her lower right abdomen that he'd snagged the night before. Then he moved it to the one that was an inch up and in, and pressed there.
Shall we start with these?
He suggested. So abruptly he braced. She stared him direct in the eyes, and spoke. I haven't had a man inside me for over a year, and the last man was a sub I took in Arius's club in Vegas, and I took him because he reminded me of you. Stellan ran his hand up her side, over her ribs, breast, chest, to her neck, murmuring, Simone. I hadn't had an orgasm in months until you gave me one at the pit, she declared. Not even a hand job or likewise.
Darling,
he whispered. You want to go over issues? You want me to be real? You asked how long I've wanted you, Stellan. Here's your answer, baby. Since the first second I laid eyes on you.
Simone, back when you were in love with Amelie. We went over that, sweetheart,
he reminded her quietly, realizing he'd made another mistake, poked the lioness, and now he needed to soothe her back to a purr. She tipped her head sharply to the side. I've been hung up on you for years. Still feel like I'm a challenge? She asked.
Yes, he answered simply.
He could tell she processed that by the stunned flare in her eyes, but he couldn't tell how she'd done it when she immediately pushed past it. I've never been on a date,
Not one, not in my life. All right, honey, perhaps you should slow down. She did not take his suggestion. I picked up men and fucked them, though not often. Before I met you, however, not rare. And they got the ride of their lives when that horny girl they thought was going to give them a sloppy, slutty good time tied their asses to their beds and used their cocks for her own purposes. Though they got off on that shit. Every, she got closer to his face. Last, she got in his face. One. Stellan decided to stay silent and let her get it out. She moved away, but only as far as his hold would let her go. It wasn't until Arius read it in me and explained it to me that I knew what it was. I always thought I was a freak. He couldn't let that pass without comment. You're not a freak. Did Arius tell you about me? She asked. He felt his brows draw together. Tell me, what about you? That when I subbed for him in training. I subbed for him. Was it him or Dillinger who told you? No, darling, he said calmingly. Dillinger shared, Arius trained you. I guessed that part. She seemed to deflate, like thinking Arius had betrayed her, had blown her up to the point. Her skin was a fragile membrane that couldn't hold the pain and was about to explode. He didn't betray your confidence, Stellan further assured. I see how you are with him, and I know you trained under him. There's a slight deference you give to him that you don't give anyone else. It's independent of the feelings you have for him. It's indicative of you having history, of submitting to him, and not just because you did that in training. Even so, it was still a guess. She turned her head to look away. I know you're damaged, Simone. He said gently, carefully. And if you think that's a turnoff, I can assure you it isn't. She looked back to him and announced, I'm not damaged, Stellan. I'm a mess. I believe those are not mutually exclusive. He murmured. You're wrong, because damage can be fixed. A mess is just a mess. A mess can be sorted out. Not my kind of mess. You're very wrong.
God, Stellan!
She shouted suddenly, shocking him with her outburst to the point his body went solid all around her and his hold on her increased. Don't you see I'm trying to protect you? From what? He asked, his voice lowering, his patience bleeding, and he was trying but failing to stem the flow. Me, you big idiot, she snapped. And shall I return the favor? He asked. The frustration ebbed out quickly as her expression grew confused. What? Shall I protect you from me? What is there to protect me from? Well, I don't know, darling. Perhaps the fact I live in terror, that some hint of my father will slither from somewhere deep inside me, and I'll find out that the vast effort I've expended since I could form a coherent thought not to be one thing like him would all be for naught. Or perhaps I should share the delightful memory of walking into the garage to find my sister in my running car, looking asleep, but being very dead. Her hands lifted to hold either side of his face. She dropped her forehead to his, and she whispered urgently, Stop, baby. Just stop. He didn't. Or should I share how I felt about the fact the wife before the last one that my father married was of an age to be my bride, or how the last one was too young even for me? The woman was 4 years out of high school, for fuck's sake. I think I know how you felt. I saw you in D.C. meeting with them, giving him the direct cut, she admitted, still whispering. And since I did, I have a good feeling how you felt. His head jerked while she spoke, and he felt his brow snap low and heavy. Sorry. She slid her hands to his neck and lifted her forehead away, I was in D.C. for a, job. I was at that restaurant. I saw you. That's when I, well, after that happened, I looked into you.
You were there?
She nodded. Stellan could not believe this.
Why the fuck didn't you say anything?
He demanded. We weren't exactly super close when I got back. And it's not something you slide across a booth at the Honey to say to somebody. I mean, how would that go? Hey, how's it going? Just, you know, wanted you to know that I saw you tell your father to go fuck himself in D.C. Well done with that.
She was being amusing. He did not laugh.
Not now. Then, in D.C. Why didn't you come to me? I was going to get your attention, but you looked pretty ticked.
After repeated communications to him, never to get in touch with me for any reason?
As usual, when he heard I was in D.C. for business and he was there for the same, my father ignored that and called me to meet him for lunch so that he could introduce me to his fiancée and ask me to be his best man again. Something I'd refused 2 times before. Of course I was ticked.
Obviously, I figured that out when I looked into you, she muttered.
Jesus Christ, Simone. You knew how to get in touch with me. All you needed to do was call Arius or Lee, and they would have given you my number. We could have met in D.C., fucked, and now been together for over a year.
She stared at him. For the most part, if you could stare at someone and do it repeatedly, blinking.
You find something in what I said surprising?
He asked dryly.
Been together for over a year? She asked back incredulously.
Darling, the first time I was inside you, when we were done, you wept. We were meant to connect, or just meant to be.
She poised to take flight. He took her to her back and covered her with his body.
Oh, no, honey, he whispered menacingly. There's no escape from that, and you know it. You're in the mood to be real? You're ready to ride through our issues?
Not so much anymore, she answered. But he wasn't asking a question, so he spoke over her.
You're 33 years old. Never had a date? Never had a man who means something take your mouth. Never had a man make love to you. And that's what we did the first time, sweetheart. In the way people like us do it. And it drove you to tears.
You're Big Bad Six, who could put a man on his ass and survive multiple gunshot wounds. But you submit to me in everything. You've moved in with me. You won't come unless I allow it. You endured a life filled with shit, and you forged your way through it for the express purpose to be right where you are now.
I can have any woman I want, but the only one I want is the one that was made for me.
I honest to God don't want you to get angry, baby, but I need you to see how that's difficult for me to believe, she stated earnestly.
You're missing the fact. I already see it, Simone. Why do you think your ass is right here and your clothes are in my closet? I'm not missing even a second at having the chance of shoving the answer to that right in your face. I vowed to you I would make that clear. And I'm going to do it. I've had you 32 hours, and you're already splitting wide open for me. Can you still doubt where this is going?
Can you still doubt me? She pressed her lips together and her eyes explored her own eyebrows.
Bloody hell. Only she could be that fucking adorable when things were this extreme between them.
Simone, he growled. Her gaze snapped to him.
Okay, geez, she mumbled, then spoke clearly.
The sex is spectacular, and you're awesome, and I'm hot, and you think I'm pretty. And we're both royally fucked up, so we belong together, because apparently, if there's an all-powerful being, He or she means for me to sit like a fat cat in a Venetian mansion and be spoiled by a hot guy. I give up. You think I'm worth it. It won't be me anymore trying to talk you out of it.
Stop being amusing,
he ordered. I can't. That's me. I'm a badass, a hardass, and a smartass. It is what it is, and you picked me, so get over it. Stellan did not waste time marveling over how she could annoy him, frustrate him, amuse him, delight him, electrify him, rouse him, and warm him, all at the same time. He just decided to rejoice in it, as well as her giving in. So he rolled off of her, only to roll her to her belly and then roll right back on. While he did this, she cried, "Stellan, open your legs," he commanded. "Stellan," she whispered breathlessly. "Do it, Simone." She did. His hips fell through.
"Reach up and grasp the edge of the bed," he ordered.
"Are you seriously going to fuck me again?" she asked.
"No.
I'm seriously going to fuck you again," he answered, sliding a hand over her ass and in. Her body stilled, then melted. His lovely, irritating, endearing, infuriating, enchanting Simone. He put his lips to her ear as he glided a light caress over her clit, and she started trembling. "We're going to celebrate your capitulation, darling." "I'm down with that," she murmured huskily. "Excellent," he replied, then nipped her earlobe. Her body jolted before her hips pushed up into his. "Hold on to the edge of the bed and don't let go," he repeated. She did as told, asking, "Are we done talking? If you'd like to share more of your mysteries while I fuck you, be my guest. But as for me, yes. I'm done talking." He slid his hand back over her ass, her hip, and went in at the front just as he slid his cock in from behind. And apparently, except for emitting a delicious sigh when she accepted his cock, that heralded other such noises as she took her fucking, Simone was done talking too. "Pardon?" Simone asked in his ear through the phone, as Stellan walked down the hall to his office an hour and a half later.
"Dinner."
He started to repeat what he'd inquired about 10 seconds earlier.
"What are we doing?" Would you like to go out?"
he asked. "Can we talk about this later?"
"Is there something claiming your attention now?"
"Yes, I'm doing my hair." He stopped dead outside Susan's office.
"I beg your pardon?"
he queried. "You called while I was doing my hair," she reiterated, then asked,
"Couldn't we have talked about this before you left? You were in the shower when I left, when you should have been in the shower with me, but I allowed you not to be since you passed out for a power nap, after I gave you your third orgasm of the morning."
A member of his staff walked by him, a man who now had wide eyes. Eyes that were trained on him, but moved away immediately when he caught the look Stellan leveled at him.
"So no."
He kept talking and again walking.
"We couldn't, so now we are. And I'm curious to know why you doing your hair precludes us from making dinner plans."
"You put product in your hair," she stated.
"Yes,"
he agreed, smiling and tipping up his chin to Susan as he walked by her desk, heading to his office. "You put it in your hands, whisk it through your hair, and the miracle that is the gloriousness of Stellan Lang takes over, and it looks perfect. I was awake for that, so I watched. It was admittedly difficult, because you did it standing in the bathroom wearing nothing but a towel, and your chest is hefty competition in the attention stakes. And normally it would win out to you running your fingers through your hair, but not by much. I'm not so lucky. My situation requires product, roller brushes, hair dryers, more product, a lot of fiddling, a skilled hand at wielding hairspray, and concentration to make it look windswept and blow away and adorably fuckable. Standing by his chair, he turned to face his desk, changing hands on his phone as he shrugged off his jacket, and he did all this smiling and replying, "We'll go out. I'll ask Susan to make a booking." "Susan?" "My assistant." She sounded suspicious when she queried, "Does she look like a Victoria's Secret model?" "She's lovely, married, one child down who I'm godfather to, one child on the way, and her father's a prick, so I danced the father-daughter dance with her at her wedding."
Simone said nothing.
"Darling," he called.
Her voice was soft when she demanded,
"Tell me when and where and what to wear, and I'll be there."
"You'll be at home. We're going together."
"Tell me when and what to wear, and I'll be home to get ready to go together," she amended. He laughed quietly. "Are you done distracting me from killer hair?" she asked.
After throwing his jacket around the back of his chair, Stellan sat in it, but did it with his eyes on Susan, who had planted herself standing across from him at his desk with her arms crossed on her chest.
"Yes.
Catch you later, hot stuff."
"See you tonight, sweetheart."
He rang off and put his phone on his desk.
"So?"
Susan demanded. He grinned at her.
"You grinning like a lion lounging on the remains of his kill does not answer my question, Stellan," she pointed out.
"I'm thinking it actually does,"
he retorted.
"Stellan," she said warningly.
"Would you care to use more words to form your question?"
he requested.
"You had your new girl, who sends flowers and wears leather, at your house for a big party with your sex friends, and I'd like to know how that went."
He often reconsidered the amount of sharing he did with his assistant. And then he always shared with his assistant.
"She moved in over the weekend."
Her face grew pale. Then she nearly screamed.
"Say what?"
"It's fine," he noted calmly.
She slowly adjusted her body to stand in front of, then aim her ass at, the chair before his desk, landing with a plop on it. Then she asked,
"Have you lost your mind?"
"No,"
he answered.
"Stellan?"
She drew in a breath.
"Okay.
No offense, you know, okay?
So, you know, you're the most intelligent man I know.
By far.
And don't ever tell Harry I said that. If you do, I'll deny it all the way to my grave. But you know that about yourself, and you know I think that about you. So, you also know you're a whale. A mark. Every female con artist's dream come true."
He sat back in his chair, rested his elbows on the arms, and linked his fingers together at his chest as he replied,
"She's not that person, Susie, and I understand why you'd be concerned, but that's not Simone.
You had one date, and she's moved in."
"Yes,"
he confirmed.
"Just saying, honey, no woman in her right mind would do that, unless she's messed up, she wants something, or she's up to something."
"It was my idea, and I had to talk her into it."
"I bet you did,"
she muttered, her concern thus distracted, focus falling to the top of his desk.
"Sue,"
he called. She lifted her gaze to his.
"I know what I'm doing,"
he told her.
"But
I want you to meet her, you and Harry and eventually Crosby."
She closed her mouth.
"She needs time, a week, two, then we'll set something up,"
he continued.
"This isn't you," she whispered.
She was right. Then again, he'd never had Simone. "Yesterday, she woke before me," he shared. "Went to her car and got a sketch pad. I startled her in the middle of drawing. I only saw seconds of it, but what I saw... She was drawing a graphic novel that seemed to feature a female superhero by the name of Six, the name she's given herself that everyone but me knows her as, who wears leather and looks like her, except scarred, facially, and to extremes.
Oh, God, she said softly.
She became incredibly agitated and secretive, hiding it from me the minute she noticed I was there. And she used anger to conceal fear when I asked to see it, and unwisely did not back off when she refused.
Oh, Stalin, that wasn't too bright, she mumbled.
He smiled softly at her. I eventually let it go, smoothed things over.
But Susie, honey, she's not using me. She's terrified of me.
And she's going to try everything she can to drive me away before life, how she understands it, takes me away. Where the life she leads takes her away from me.
What if the life she leads takes her away from you? She asked.
It won't.
What if it does? She pushed.
I won't allow it.
You're pretty powerful, Stell, but you're not omnipotent. You can't control everything.
I'm aware of that.
So, if you lose her? He felt his face get hard and it came out in his voice.
I won't.
She studied him closely and for some time, until, hesitantly, she suggested, maybe there's a reason she protects people from her?
She thinks there is, but I know there's definitely a reason she needs to stop doing that.
We're all not broken and set on a course of self-destruction like Celie, honey, she pointed out gently and cautiously.
But even if some of us are,
if we're set on that course, no one could save us.
I'm not saving my sister, Susie. I'm falling in love with the only woman I've ever met who fits me.
Her face turned melancholy. I hope so.
I know so. Meet her, and you'll know, too.
You know I'll meet her. I'll be there with bells on, and I'll be hilarious and protective. And if she's falling in love with you, too, she won't be able to stop herself from falling in love with me.
She already loves me, Susan. She fell in love with me the minute she met me. Probably then thinking I actually am omnipotent. And the only person who could withstand the destruction she's convinced herself she's had some hand in, that's followed in her wake.
He grinned.
Now she's doing it because she's headstrong, smart as hell, and I'm the only person she can't bulldoze or freeze out with her personality. Not to mention, or exceptionally sexually compatible.
She lifted a hand, palm out his way. TMI, boss man.
Sensing the course of their conversation had shifted, he took advantage. I believe I shocked Frank in the hall when he overheard me speaking to Simone and mentioning the 3 orgasms I gave her this morning.
Please, say it isn't so, she begged, clasping her hands to her chest to dramatize the words. I won't be able to leave my office for a week. They'll all want the skinny.
He smiled and shrugged.
Eyes on him. Suddenly, she straightened in her chair. Then she brightened.
What?
He asked. Finally, her expression calmed. You're happy, she declared.
I am,
he confirmed. Right. Good. Now I'm all set to meet her.
We'll do that, but I need a booking tonight for her and me. Try Buck and Ryder first.
As his cell on his desk rang, she stood, saying, I'm on it, boss man. He took up his phone, shot her a smile, and looked down at the display as Susan turned and moved to leave.
He sighed at what he saw on his phone, took the call, and lifted his eyes, watching Susan go while answering. There he is. Got home yesterday, drove by your house to have a face-to-face. Saw Six's Cayenne there, decided against it. So this has to be on the phone,
he stated as the door closed behind Susan.
I hope you know what the fuck you're doing.
The news had made the rounds. Not a surprise.
Arius, she'd have my balls. She knew I was giving this to you. But this isn't play, brother. Not for her. I want this for both of you. I wrote her ass to do something about taking it there with you. But you gotta know, it's not play. Not for six. Are you feeling me?
If you'll give me a second to speak, I can assure you I know that.
Does six know that?
Simone knows everything.
He heard Arius pull in a sharp breath. And he knew why, considering no one knew who Simone was. Except Dillinger, because he'd investigated her. And he now knew Arius. Though he wondered if Simone knew that. He wasn't going to ask.
She moved in this weekend, Stellan shared.
Oh, fuck,
Arius muttered.
She won't be moving out.
That went fast,
Arius noted.
It didn't seem very fast to Stellan.
Too fast,
Arius went on.
It's as it needs to be,
Stellan replied.
She's sub, man.
Arius said quietly, like he was breaking a confidence. Which he was.
Just leave it at that,
Stellan returned.
You go deeper in this conversation, she finds out, it would cause harm, and I'm trying to avoid that.
She's also straight up dumb.
I'm aware of both.
Yeah, took her to the pit, gave her a warrior, got her a toy for your party.
There was a pause when Stellan imagined Arius was shaking his head before he said,
Fuck. I hope you know what you're doing.
Deciding it was best to change the subject, Stellan did that.
I need a mistress.
Say again?
Arius demanded.
For the warrior I gave Simone. She wants to find someone for him that will work well with him, in a playroom and out. As she describes, someone who's not psycho-crazy in one zone or the other. My take is, it would be something like Leany gives to Dillinger, perhaps more hardcore. Though I can't know how Dillinger likes it played. Do you have any suggestions?
You two are finding another Dom to be with the sub you got for six to work?
Yes.
You don't know what you're doing.
He muttered.
It's what she wants for him.
And who's she gonna work, brother?
Arius asked.
Stellan said nothing.
Arius didn't let it go.
Those times she needs to work someone over, what's she gonna do?
We'll sort something out.
You do know that we're talking about her and you?
Her and you.
How long's it gonna take? Before you can't take it anymore, Stellan. Watching her do her thing with another guy.
Our thing is not even a week old, Arius. So I'm a little focused on a number of other variables that take precedence. We'll deal with that when it happens.
You're sure?
He was finished with this conversation and thus moved to draw a line under it.
I'll do anything to make her happy. So yes, Arius, fuck yes. I am absolutely sure.
Arius fell silent.
He also broke that silence. There's that story.
The thorn in the paw. He began.
It may play that way for you, and I hope it does. But the other side of that coin is the beast rips his healer's throat out. Have a care, my man. And I like you, I respect you, you're good people. But I love her. If you fuck this up and she tears into your throat, it'll hurt like fuck, but you'll heal and move on. She'll never forgive herself. She'll never let anyone close again. And we'll all lose her forever.
Yes, Arius knew far more than Simone thought he knew. Before Stellan could form a reply,
Arius had dropped the line.
Sage bastard.
Stellan growled at his phone. When he did, a beep came with a text that showed a tiny picture on his screen. At the name and the picture, he pulled it up. There he stared at a selfie of Simone winking at the camera cheekily, from behind a tempting, windswept hank of hair, under which it said, adorably fuckable. And the conversations with Susan and Arius were lost when Stellan burst out laughing. He was still doing it as his finger moved over his phone. He texted her back with X. And then he saved the picture to Simone's contact and changed the name to Adorably Fuckable. That night, walking into Buck and Ryder with Six wearing a white leather body-skimming slip dress with a scooped neck, thin straps, and a hemline to her knees, paired with gray snakeskin pumps, he knew every man whose eyes followed her did not think she was adorably fuckable. They thought she was just fuckable. And he had never walked into anywhere with any woman on his arm, feeling the way he was feeling, escorting Simone to their table. Like a lion roaming the savannah, taking in his domain. His father didn't understand this feeling. He wanted it, even so far as convinced himself he had it. But deep down, he knew he wasn't strong enough to earn it. Hey, she called after he seated her and took the chair at the angle to hers. Stellan looked at her, saw his mark at her neck, and felt his cock stirring lazily at the memory of how it happened and the knowledge that every man whose eyes followed her to that table, every man who was surreptitiously watching them now, knew how she'd earned his mark. And much as he liked that, he also saw her throat bare and decided to have collars custom-made, just like the one she'd worn Saturday night, but in real rose gold, and yellow gold, and platinum. You okay? She asked. He took his napkin, shook it out, and put it on his lap. Then he turned again to her. I'm never going to be my father, he announced. Her chin jerked back into her neck, and her brows drew straight down like she'd personally been insulted. Of course you're not, she snapped. His father didn't understand that kind of reaction either. Damn, I'm sorry, Stellan, she said quietly, reaching out and wrapping her fingers around the side of his hand. The stuff that came up this morning is messing with. He turned his hand and gripped her fingers hard. It's not. Her fingers gripped hard back. And his father would never have that either. Then why are you talking about it? She asked. A server approached. Stellan stared him down. The server retreated. Stellan looked back at Simone. My assistant means the world to me. And I'd like for us to have dinner with her and her husband, perhaps next week. Okay, she said hesitantly. Whether her hesitancy came from the change of subject or his statement, it didn't matter. She was meeting Susan, and they were done discussing his father. I order for you, he instructed. Before the server returns, tell me what you want to drink. And before he comes back, tell me what you want to eat. You sit there, owned by me tonight, darling. Her fingers tensed in his. She wriggled a little on her seat. Heat flared in her eyes. And she repeated, quieter this time. Okay, baby. He liked her response. And he was very much looking forward to that weekend, when he'd be breaking her into that part of their lives. But they had other things to get straight. I asked Arius to help us find Ami, a mistress. He's good for another session or two with you, but that's all, Simone. For his sake, you'll need to cut him loose. We'll find a way to meet that need for you, but you'll be losing Ami. You decide the when, you can have him in a playroom at the Honey with the blinds down,
or my playroom at home. Either way, I'll be with you. Watching.
You have a playroom at your house?
I should have given you the full tour. I'll do that tonight, when we return home.
She gave him her cat's smile. And again, he didn't know if she was giving it because she wanted him to play with her there, or if she wanted to play there.
That didn't matter either. I'll be dismantling it, Simone. When I work you, the way I'll work you, it'll be in our home and in our bed. We've got the resources to assuage your alternate needs. And when we want a change of scenery, we have the resources to find that, too.
She nodded and held fast to his hand, her expression turning searching. Stellan, are you sure you're okay?
Of course. There's no reason not to be. I'm a man who has everything, he replied.
Seemingly, she returned. But no one can have everything. He stared her straight in the eye, squeezed her fingers tight, and repeated,
I'm a man who has everything. She understood him, he knew, because her gaze grew warm, her face soft. But her lips murmured,
God, you're impossible.
How's that?
You know that happy you're so determined for me to have? She asked.
Yes.
Well, she started like she was grousing. I'm actually beginning to see the path. It is bright and cheery. Which means you were right. Within less than 48 hours. And that's annoying. As he was finding he often did with Simone, Stellan burst out laughing. 9. A force unto him. 6. Six sat in her car, her digital camera with the long telephoto lens attached to it, up and aimed. Thus, she took a variety of pictures of the man who was doing yard work 2 houses down. Mowing the lawn, blowing debris, bending, bagging, and hefting the bags into the back of his truck. When she had a number of snaps, she lowered the camera and muttered, People are so stupid. Particularly that man, who had taken yard work for cash jobs when he was alternately suing his employer for supposed injuries on a manual labor job that left him physically unable to work. At the same time, collecting disability checks from the government. What was on her camera meant, at least the lawsuit was over. Now she needed to send the photos to the attorney on the case, check her email, and tie things up for the weekend. And considering she didn't have a workspace at the firm, mostly since her work happened in the field, if she had to hook in, she usually opened her laptop in a coffee house or bar somewhere. This was because she didn't have Wi-Fi at her hovel. But since she was done for the day, she decided she'd just go back to Stellan's and deal with everything. He did have Wi-Fi, and about a gazillion Wi-Fi extenders, so it was fast as a shot throughout the house. He'd be home soon anyway. And then they could have dinner, hang, fuck, sleep, and then... She stilled her mind, set her camera on the passenger seat, and shifted the Cayenne into drive, putting her foot on the gas to head to Stellan's. It was Friday. The end of the best week of her life. Bar none. So much the best it blasted everything out of the water. Not that there was much competition. It was just that living with Stellan was sublime. It was not a surprise the man was phenomenally talented in bed. She'd only seen him at play, but what she'd seen, the veneration in which his subs held him, that 2 and 2 definitely equaled 4 million, and the reality proved that. But it wasn't that. It was that he thought she was funny. God, every time she made him laugh, she felt like a god, like she'd wrought some miracle. He was happy. Happy to be with her. She'd never made anyone happy in her entire life. She was a definite smartass, so she'd had occasion to make people laugh. But it was different with Stellan. It moved her completely that she could give that to him. It was. She couldn't describe it even in her head. It just meant everything that she could make Stellan happy. The rest, regardless of how much of it there was, and there was a lot, was frosting. Not the sex. Sex with Stellan was definitely moist, rich, delicious cake. But the rest felt like she was on a game show, and she jumped through all the hoops to win the $1 million prize. And then the confetti dropped, and the band played, and she'd been told she'd also won the fabulous all-expenses-paid vacation to Italy, the new car, and the yacht. Seriously. He looked like he looked, dressed like he dressed, fucked like he fucked. And the man could cook, and he liked to cook, but mostly, he liked to cook for her. He also adored his assistant, spoke about her like she was a beloved member of his family, with humor and devotion in his voice, and a look on his handsome face that Six felt pierce right through her heart in a good way, and warm her down deep in her belly. He further spoke with respect and amused affection about M. Though Six had not seen Margarita since she arrived at the pool party, she'd seen the effects of her taking care of Stellan. And now Six. There was also how attentive he was to Six. And how he didn't hide, he found her fascinating. How he listened actively to anything she said, like he wasn't just interested, but absorbing it. Breathing it in like it was as essential as oxygen. Not to mention, she simply just loved watching him. He was comfortable and confident in any surroundings. His home, the restaurants he took her to, everywhere. She'd now had 3 dates, if you included when they went to the pit, though 2 of them were dates where she went home with her date. Stellan liked to cook, but he also liked to eat out. And last, he could make a mean cocktail. They hadn't gotten into anything heavy after their Monday morning together. He asked about her day and listened. She asked about his and definitely listened. He read, so she bought some e-books for her laptop, and she read on opposite ends of the couch to him, their legs tangled. They cooked, or she sipped the cocktails he made her while he cooked. Six didn't cook if she could avoid it, and so far in her life she'd been able to do that. They took night swims in his pool. They had lots and lots and lots of sex, including sex in the pool. It was awesome. It made her happy. But last night, while eating Stellan's astounding hamburgers, he even made hamburgers extraordinarily. The insides having homemade bacon bits, sautéed mushrooms and onions and cheese, they were incredible. He told her that, "Your weekend of submitting to me, darling, will start Saturday morning, the minute you wake. Tomorrow." It was not lost on her that he'd been guiding her toward what would be happening over the weekend all through the week. He had a commanding personality, naturally. But the things he said and expected of her were not entirely about that being simply a part of who he was. Not to mention, he'd tell her straight when he wanted her in her role, when he was slipping them into a modified scene, like he did at Buck and Ryder when he took control of ordering for her. She was not only a dom who had worked subs. She'd been to a variety of sex clubs, seeing other doms work their subs. And she'd seen Stellan work his. But that was in a playroom at the Honey. He'd told her he'd be dismantling the fully kitted, seriously the bomb playroom in his house, because the way he'd work her would be in our home and in our bed.